Richard, we're talking about the history of what is now Convention Center Boulevard. What was the space before it was developed as we know it today?
300 years ago, it was deep inside the Mississippi River. And not just Convention Center Boulevard, but the entire warehouse district. So what happened was that, given that this is a deltaic environment, the Mississippi River is constantly shifting, leaning over on one side, scouring out one bank, running slack on the other, and depositing sediment. And this had been going on for thousands of years. What changed around the turn of the 19th century was a severe shift onto scouring out the McDonoughville-Algiers side on the West Bank and running very slack along the neighborhood that at the time was called Faubourg-Saint Marie. And so a batcher started to form there. The sediment, mostly sand particles, started to deposit, form a beach. And so New Orleanians called it the Saint Mary, Saint Marie, Saint Mary Batcher. And in the early years, exactly 200 years ago, 210 years ago, this became one of the most controversial places in town.
So tell me what the St. Mary's Batcher was like.
So when it first starts to form, coincidentally right around the time of the Louisiana Purchase, it would have been a sandy deposit of alluvium extending just off what is now Chapultepec Street. If you know where Emeril's restaurant is, it was along there, okay? Chapultepec, if you take that into the French Quarter, becomes North Peters. At the time, the beach started forming all along there, and it extended almost beyond where the bridge is today. And so to landowners there, this was seen as a fortuitous gift. And so one of them, Jean Gravier, as in Gravier Street, had the idea of privatizing this. From the perspective of Roman civil law and of the Creole perspective in New Orleans, this was public property. Anyone could stroll out on the batcher. You could cart away sediment. It belonged to everyone. From the perspective of English common law, and remember, Anglo-Americans are starting to come down here and bring that perspective with them, whoever owned the adjoining land also owned this natural gift. And so Jean Gravier, even though he was Creole, takes it upon himself to hire some laborers and build out a levee and incorporate this beach into his holdings.
And this is where the controversy comes in.
So it goes to the local city council at the time, which was Creole dominated. And they said, no, you can't do this. This belongs to everyone. So with the help of a New York lawyer, Edward Livingston, Gravier sues again, and it goes to the territorial court, the American territorial court. They're analyzing this through the prism of English common law, and they ruled that this is private terrain. At that point, there are protests among New Orleanians, and it becomes a national issue. It goes all the way up to President Jefferson. Jefferson has a couple of dogs in this hunt. For one thing, he's not a huge fan of Livingston. But more importantly, he dreams of an agrarian nation. All right, a nation of small yeoman farmers. To have that, you need access to rivers. So he wants to make clear that the Batcher is, in fact, not just public property, but the property of the United States, because this would have implications all the way up Mississippi River Valley. And so the president sends marshals to come and evict Livingston, who is paid for his services by being granted a part of the Batcher, as well as Gravier. So he's evicted. Livingston sues the president, loses in one court, wins in another. And so this is just becoming this enormous controversial case. It's finally, shall I say, quasi-settled in 1820 when a compromise is worked out.
So what was the compromise?
The compromise applied mostly just to the area that we're talking about, and they agreed that everything between the crest of the actual man-made levee and the river itself would be public and have a maritime servitude, which it has today. Everything on the land side would be owned by the city and subject to be subdivided and sold off as lots with public streets. So this almost literally lays the groundwork for what we now call the Warehouse District. But just to give some of the idea of the distances, you know where the Riverwalk is today, that was 1,500 feet into the river when the city was founded in 1718. Where the World Trade Center is today, about to become the Four Seasons Hotel, that was something like 600 or 800 feet off into the water. In all, it was about 200 acres that got created by nature, running from the Upper French Quarter through the what we now call the Warehouse District, and then trickling into the riverfront of what we now call the Lower Garden District.
How did the St. Mary Batcher and the carving of the river affect the West Bank?
It worked in the exact opposite interests of the West Bank. Whereas the East Bank, downtown New Orleans, got this gift of new land, the West Bank lost about as much as the East Bank gained.
And the river has carved its way through the entire country. What's the historic significance of the Batcher today?
To this day, Batcher law is very convoluted and contradictory, in part because Roman civil law and English common law have two different interpretations of this. And we, of course, in Louisiana have a mixed legal jurisdiction, so we have elements of both of this. But more fundamentally, no law, I don't think, can be consistent on land that becomes water and becomes land every 6 or 8 months. So the very ephemeral, liminal nature of Batchers makes it quite resistant to legal regularity. And so to this day, there's all sorts of disputes about who owns the land of this Batcher, who owns the properties above it. And so it's part of the great kind of cultural geography and legal legacy of Louisiana that we have this complex phenomena that is part lithography and part hydrology and part a cultural space. And you see evidence of this to this day in the Warehouse District. All the streets that were created after the Batcher formed was during the American era. And so they were named through American toponym naming sensibilities: Front Street, Delta Street, Water Street. If you go on the older side that was under French and Spanish and indigenous colonial times, Chapatoulas, St. Charles, Magazine, Carondelet, Notre Dame, Julia, all these kind of more melodious Catholic and old world and indigenous names. So just by looking at the place names, you could tell that something different happened there.